Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Danny Miller.
Yes.
Buzz in your ear, mate.
Well, thanks for having me.
We was literally just saying the last time we saw you was at your wedding.
Yeah, it will have been, yeah, which was nearly a year ago.
What date was it?
July the 22nd.
Yeah, you did well to remember that.
I panicked, mate.
I pretty much planned, I'd say 80% of it, so that date has well and truly stuck in my head.
Yeah. Did you do most of it? Because I know Steph's like, she's hands-on, isn't she? She is.
She kind of knew what she wanted, but I don't know, I kind of had a vision for it. We basically went for an OK magazine shoot at this place in Northwich.
Beautiful place.
Stunning,
well.
Wasn't it?
Gorgeous.
It was probably a little bit too small in terms of the rooms, but that's, I don't know, a boring story. But we did an OK shoot there to do the engagement and the baby announcement thing.
Yeah.
And it's always one of those, like, really awkward shoots, and like everyone's kind of really buzzing for you, but they're not really that buzzing. They just want you to stand there and smile and make you.
The
pictures look pretty, kind of thing. But we suddenly sat around and we wanted to get married in Greece, but I've you know, with family who couldn't really travel and all that. And we said, why don't we do it here? And we sorted it out with the guy when we were there. We had dinner after it and we sort of met him. And then he was friends of Adam Thomas and Ryan Thomas. And I thought, see if he'll do us a deal. So we booked to do the wedding there, and it was the best decision we made to do it over here, because the only problem with it was July. So that weekend when we booked it, they said, that's just to let you know, that's been the hottest day of the year for the last 3 years.
The weekend, right.
So we need to think about shade, and you know, like, there's loads of kids, and we wanted a big sort of bouncy castle area and all that stuff. And
I remember.
Bouncy castle area for your wedding.
Between me and Steph, we've got like 12 nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
You know, like, so we knew there was loads of them, and then the surrounding family have all got kids and cousins and stuff. So we thought we'll go for the kind of kid
family
thing.
Friendly.
Yeah. So we can get, so they
it's like
can almost
summer
yeah.
Vibes,
well, we had like superheroes and princesses taking them off while the speeches were done, and they were all that kind of thing. So we proper thought of the kids. Anyway, we got there on the Friday, on the Thursday. And we're having a little barbecue and that, and I just felt a little spitter of rain. I was like, no, and it'll be fine. And then Friday woke up, and it was literally like a film. I just pulled up the blind, and as I did, it was leathering it down. And the day before, this company sort of said, just let you know, we're expecting rain. So do you want to hire a gazebo? So everything is a grand extra.
Oh, mate, you slap the name wedding in front of someone. Like, you can go to a bakery any day of the week and buy a cake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's what, Matt?
Yeah.
Tenner?
Yeah.
If you put wedding in front of that cake, it's like, oh, it's going to be like £400 per tier. Like, what?
Yeah.
So our budget was pretty much spent. So I said to Steph, something in my mind's telling me to get it, so I'm going to get it as a backup. And she went, what if we don't even use it? And went, well, if we don't even use it, we take it on the chin. Anyway, I woke up on the Friday morning about 8:30 and it was levering it down. And I came out the room, and there was just this woman stood there with like a face, and was like, it's here all day, isn't it? And she went, yeah. She went, do you want us to get the gazebo up? So it's like a bell tent. It wasn't a gazebo. It's massive.
It was nice.
And we just went, yeah, sack it. Let's get it up and do it under there. Because the other option was to do it in this really dead hot room with no air.
So originally it was going to be outside?
Yeah. Well, it was still outside.
Yeah, I know, of course but
the idea was it was sunny and all that stuff, yeah.
Ah.
But I always get in trouble off DPs and DLPs and stuff, because when the light shines in my eyes do that.
Yeah,
and I can't really tell a story, can it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I was worrying that all... Well, yeah.
You're talking to me, Kane.
I'll tell you something. But then the thing with it was it kind of then started making me panic about sweating, and then the okay pictures of me like that were just sweat dripping down, and then I thought, right, it's a blessing in disguise. So it ended up being all right in the end.
Yeah, it was.
And they looked dead nice, don't they, them marquees?
Yeah,
when
they did it all pretty and all that, and there's this company called Red Floral who were just like an amazing sort of florist and decor sort of thing, and they made it look amazing. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't have told that it wasn't part of the plan.
I think the highlight of the night for me was the Great Showman thing you did.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, have you got video? I don't think
yeah,
I've seen
it. Yeah, there's a video, I think. I'll send it to you. But
it went all out of a Great Showman thing.
Well, the thing with it was, with me, was I always watch First Dances, and I always feel like the awkward groom who just sort of stood there and, you know...
Come get involved.
Two bars of the song and you're getting everyone on, aren't you? And sort of up in it, but... we ended up like watching Greatest Showman one day when we were on holiday in Lanzarote, weirdly, on like a rooftop cinema thing. It was
what film, by the way?
Oh, well, it was the first time I'd seen it. And Steph was like, "You've not seen it." Oh yeah, I was crying. I was laughing. I was up at the end, and it's a silent theatre as well, so you've got the headphones on.
Oh right.
So I'm stood up, and everyone's kind of turning around, having the meals. Like, what's he doing? I'm just going, yeah.
I remember Charlotte put it on the first time. Yeah, mate. When Charlotte put it on the first time, I was like, "What is this shit? I'm not bothered." And then she fell asleep, and by the end of it, I was sat on the edge of my seat, like, that was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. And now I've seen it, and like, if it's ever in the drive-in cinemas and that, I'm there.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was the cringy factor of it as well, was that me and Steph met in primary school, and then we went through primary school, secondary school together, and we had a relationship throughout, and then we kind of went that way, and I went off and did my thing, she went off and did her thing in midwifery, and... you know, 12 years in the NHS, band 6, midwife, did really well for herself, and I went off and did Emmerdale, and then she met a TV star. Yeah, and then she lowered the standards for this. but the thing was like, you know, it was like, this story's just like us. So then I suggested the idea, again, we were back in Lanzarote a few months later, and we were just driving, and I just said, we listened to the song, and I went, wouldn't this be amazing to do a song of like a spoofs type thing? So we start as a slow dance. Everyone thinks it's going to be a boring because it's a long song as well.
Yeah.
You run off, get changed, and then I'll run and try and find you, and then the curtain drops and we're stood there and we're all doing it. So then we found this company. We're like, well, we know the dance. We'll teach it. I'll sing the song. We're like, this is brilliant.
That's me. So you sang the song?
I couldn't get anywhere near the front. I think I was at the sat at the back of the marquee because I couldn't get... Everyone was loving it. Yeah. Normally, first dance, everyone just stood at the bar going, oh, it's like, everyone was all over
But the thing is, as a typical actor, you pick holes in your performance, so I watched it back and I was like, I'm out of time. So the first thing is that, like, we all start doing that, and I'm kind of already watching. I'm like, whoa, I missed it. And then my head goes, and like, there's like the curtain sort of thing there, don't trip over that. And it was in my mouth throughout the whole thing, and it turned out to be, you know, quite funny, and it was a bit of taking the piss and that, which was
I love that, because like you say, weddings need that, don't they? That little bit of like fun, corny kind of like, oh, we're gonna different that.
I've been somewhat a bit different over, because your wedding was quite traditional, wasn't it?
A little bit. We had like little bits in there. Like, we had like barbershop quartet came in, but they were singing like Angel by Shaggy and it was all like hip hop songs, that's how I kind of wangled it, because I'm into my hip hop, and we watched them, and my wife went, oh, they're really good.
But
they're great on Family Guy, aren't they, at a barbershop.
Really,
my wedding was really traditional, and it's kind of like,
you're a hypnotist.
Yeah, we loved our wedding. It was brilliant. Yeah, it was really good. But then the more, especially with like modern society, the way that, you know, with social media, people are trying to outdo each other, and more ideas are coming in, and you see people's weddings, and they're like, you get these great ideas. But now I'm kind of like, oh, we could have done loads more.
Yeah, but I think you do, because I think people pick up on new ideas and create new ideas, and then it makes you go, oh, yeah, that is a good idea. But because I watched loads of, like, Greatest Showman things, and a lot of it was just sort of, like, the music, nothing to it as such, but we had all the jackets and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you went for it, didn't you?
So there was nothing that I'd have changed about it, and it got me away from having to do the dance thing, because we got to this rehearsal and this guy's like, right, okay, and we're going to go for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and I was like, mate, right, break that all down for me, because that's far too quick for me. And he went, no, it's not, it's just done. And I was like, you're not helping. So I just said, I'll tell you what, why don't Steph do it and I'll just do that. So in the end, she ends up doing it, she's so
and
good
you're just kind of
I just got away with sort of being like, so I just said, I'm going to have to channel a Mr Bean type character in it to get away with it,
to make it a bit
which
more.
Is just very facial and I don't know what I'm doing, kind of. And we got away with it.
Which is like a wedding planning, like a marriage. It's all symbolic.
Well, another one we was just saying off camera as well. You'll have to remind me of his. Is it Zach who plays Kane Dingle? It's not Zach.
No.
What's his name?
Zach Dingle, who plays Kane Dingle. No.
Yeah, yeah, no, no.
Jeff.
Jeff, sorry. Jeff, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I And we spoke about something similar with Adam Rowe, one of our previous guests, is something happened on one of my nights out, which you've been a part of loads of times, my wild nights out. Yes. So I went to a gig in Leeds, and it was Sam Fender. It was a tiny, tiny little venue. And it was one of them that got out of hand. It was like getting home at stupid o'clock. And I woke up in the morning, I was looking through my photos. And I was just scrolling through and I said, is that fucking Zach Dingle from Emmerdale? I was like, not Zach. I said,
no,
is that
Kane?
That's Kane Dingle. I said,
no, it's not Zach.
I scrolled through and I said, did we meet Kane Dingle last night? My mate was like, yeah, mate, can you not remember? I was like, no, but it happened because I've got this photo on my phone. So then I see him at your wedding, and I went over to him and I was like, mate, I said, we met at Sam Fender, obviously because of this photo. And he was like, yeah, can you not remember? I said, I ain't got a Scooby.
She's not like you.
She's not like me. But then we recreated the photo at the wedding, which I thought was quite funny. But he's a nice guy, isn't he?
He's top, yeah. And
they all are.
And, you know, the thing was, I was out of Emmerdale for, you know, over a year anyway. And I'll be honest, like a lot of the time, you know, the OK magazine who were covering it, you know, they were kind of saying who's coming and who's, you know, like sort of thing. And I was like, well, this is who I've invited, this is who said he's coming, and whatever else happens after that is out of my control. Not one of them let me down.
Nice.
I think one had to because of work, which was, I mean, you were asking on a Friday in the middle of July to ask for 10 members, 12 members of Castle to be off on the same day.
Yeah.
So even though I wasn't there, ITV and Emmerdale really did what they could to make sure all the people that wanted there were there. So, you know, it was really appreciative of it. And you know, Jeff was there and his wife Zoe, who plays Rona, and there's a couple who couldn't make it. Lucy, who plays my mum Chaz in it. And
it was amazing for me because I grew up watching Emmerdale, so I was like looking around, just seeing everyone. I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Well, it got to a point where my wife Steph, one of her family members, is a huge Emmerdale fan. And she kept coming over to me during the afternoon and the evening, sort of saying, I really just want to go and say hello. I went, they won't mind, just go and say hello. So I ended up dragging them over there. But then the highlight of it for me was my mum is proper quiet, and she's met them a couple of times at awards and stuff like that, but she's proper quiet. And then when she's had a drink kind of thing, she doesn't like become, you know, flamboyant or anything, but she certainly becomes a different version of herself.
A bit more confident.
So then I walked over to the table because she must have been sat there talking to them with their cats. But I mean, they're all leaning in, like engrossed in this conversation, going, that's got to be about me, that, like, right, I'll go over and see what's happening kind of thing. And all of the Emmerdale lot said, she's fine, go away. And this was Charlie Webber, who played Debbie, and she's like, you know, you don't mess with me kind of person, but lovely in the inside as well. And she just said, go away, I'm talking to my new best friend. And she was with Emma, who plays Charity as well. And then after it, the whole highlight of the wedding, which, you know, to me was a little bit of a... She said the highlight for me was just sitting there talking to such beautiful people, the Emmerdale cast. Like, that was your highlight. I mean, I'm not disagreeing.
You did well
Well
done with your speech.
All
that
dancing thing was all right. But yeah.
I wouldn't have been surprised if we're dancing and Mum's still there going, yeah, I've seen it.
But they all are, aren't they? Everyone that I've met, like, obviously we met loads of people over the years from like soaps and stuff, and it's like, but it's so weird because, like, they're in everyone's room like four or five times a week. It's so weird to like the only time I've really ever been starstruck, and I don't know if I've spoke about this on the podcast before, but me and my dad flew in from somewhere. We'd been somewhere with This Is England. We'd been to a film festival, and we got the train from Manchester Piccadilly, and there's a bar upstairs. I'm not sure if it's still there.
Right. Yes.
And we got to the bar, and I was only like 14, 15, and I remember standing at the bar and looking to my left. And Bruce Jones was there, who obviously played Les Bascombe. I shit you not, I was fumbling. I was like, I called him Les straight away. Hated me straight from the off. And I was trying to explain to him how I just worked with Shane Meadows.
Yeah.
Because he'd worked with Shane Meadows on 24/7, I think, years ago. And I was this little kid who called him Les, trying to say to him that I'm the lead in a Shane Meadows film. And he was just like, because it hadn't been released at this point.
So he
was just like, all right, of course you are, mate. But I honestly had no idea what to say to him. So it's weird when you meet people in soaps.
Good story about Bruce Jones, right?
Oh, God.
That's never
a good start.
No, it is actually quite a good story because I didn't fully believe him. So we've got a caravan down in Abergele, which weirdly is right next to the Amstel Castle. But I bought that years before I went in Amstel. I didn't buy it, trying to cling on to winning it. So anyway, every time I went for a drink in Abergele, someone said, I'll tell you, you're not the only celeb around here, you know, Bruce Jones, you remember Les Battersby? I was like, all right, yeah. And, you know, I'd never met him before. So anyway, randomly we joined the COVID.
I love that
COVID
you're not
time.
The only celeb,
yeah. I know, yeah. Like I was walking, like a walked in but morning, pint of lager, please. Only celeb, literally in this whole village, as if he was there. But anyway, I just sort of passed it by, and then randomly after about three or four times going in this place, and it was COVID heavy then, and everyone had the masks on and stuff. Bruce Jones come over. And he goes, "I've been waiting to meet you. I've heard that you're not the only celebrity." I was like, "Is this like a script?"
It's like some out of Hot Fuzz.
Like they're all sort of going, "You're not the only celeb around here." Going, "I'm aware of it. I've been told I'm not the only celeb. I've not claimed to be."
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, he went on to say to me, he was like, "What are you doing now with yourself?" And I said, "I'm just taking a year off and just sort of I'm in a luxury position for the next few months where I can sort of possibly pick work here and there and maybe not acting, but more sort of celebrity reality thing off the back of I'm a celeb." And I've never been in a position like that before, so I'm kind of enjoying that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, I've just signed a contract to do 32 films in 2 years."
I was
like, "What? What do you mean?" So I was like, and he was like, "And they're all blockbusters." Anyway,
what?
Would you be in them, basically? And I was like, "Oh, do you know what it is, Bruce? I don't want to be in 32 films, mate.
In a year.
And nothing against you. I'm sure you're great in them and stuff." Anyway, last week, right, it's random that you said this. Last week, Steph goes, "You know all that bullshit," which we thought it was at the time, "that Bruce Jones told you about these films." He went, "Well, look at that." And it was a press piece on Bruce Jones doing a film that's made it in Hollywood. So one of these 32, I mean, it's a massive one in 32 is going to make it. But he's done this film, and you look at him, he looks completely different. All the effects and all this stuff have done it, and I've gone, "Shit, should I have said yeah?"
"Hiya, Bruce, it's the other celebrity."
Bruce, yeah. "Hey, hey, Bruce, you know, I'm not the only celeb." But instead, I couldn't believe it. And I was reading, it was a full press piece, and it said from being homeless to Hollywood.
Wow.
And yeah, because I know he struggled a lot with his own personal stuff and that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fair play, man.
Yeah, fair play.
But one thing I will say is, you know, like he certainly was to me anyway, he was a very, very nice guy.
Very nice bloke.
And yeah, it was just weird that you said that.
Yeah,
I could have been in 32 films with Bruce Jones. Who else could say that?
He could have been.
Yeah,
that's been, mate.
That's some going, that. I'd like to do the calculations of that.
Well, 16 a year and then 52 weeks in a year. So how many weeks he spent? You're not getting much time off, are you?
No.
Is it possible to do 32 films in a year?
Bruce Jones has done it, mate.
He's done
one's
if
in
one
Hollywood.
Man can, it's Bruce.
It's Bruce.
when you go past that, going back to that, because I my gran used to own caravans in Abergele, and that's why I grew up there. Right. In a sense, we were there every week.
So there was three celebrities in the village.
I wasn't by any means a celebrity then. Still not now. Got?
Well, listen.
But, God, it's like Manchester. You know, like, do you still have it there now and stuff? The caravan.
Yeah, still got it there. Yeah.
Is it one of them, like, you know, like when people say like, "Oh, the dad's a builder," and they can't drive past like an estate without going up? I laid the bricks for that. Do you now drive past and go, "Oh, I won the fucking crown
of that place. I'm the king of that
place."
I'm the king of that,
kids. Where Abigail is, there's another place that our friends have got up the road, which is a really beautiful holiday cottage. And every now and again, we'll go there instead of the caravan.
Is he a celebrity?
No, she is not. Okay. Not that a celebrity in that village, but I think there's about 16 people there.
Okay.
But we drive past it. So as we drive past it each time, so you're driving along the A55 up to Penamine Mower, it's called, and then the castle's there and you get a perfectly good view of it just for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And there is a bit where I'm driving and I'm looking like that, and I have said in the past, like, I remember being stood on top of there looking at the A55, and I find myself talking like my dad. But there was the moments where, you know, 2 weeks into it, it's freezing cold, it's raining, you stood outside just for a bit of fresh air and you're looking at all the I'm guessing in the jungle you probably wouldn't get to see that life outside.
You can see life, you're high on a hill.
Yeah, it's on top of a hill. It's a castle, isn't it? So it's on top of a hill and you're looking out, and I could literally during the day sort of work my way down to my caravan, so I could see my caravan.
That's crazy.
It was all closed up and stuff.
Yeah because
that must have made it worse though, like,
it made it harder. Yeah, especially when the weirdest thing was everyone was panicking because this storm hit, which when we got evacuated for 2 days.
Yes.
So we got, so this storm thing hit and they were going to evacuate us at like 2 a.m. when all the press had gone and it was safe to do so and all that stuff. And everyone was kind of going like, "Oh God, I hope the family's all right," and everything. And I was worried about my family, but obviously being less than a mile away from my caravan, I was going, "I hope my caravan's all right."
It's not blown over.
No, so then when I got out, like one of the first, 20, 30 questions was, "Is the caravan all right?"
Yeah.
And I bought it's such a boring story, but I bought this storage box and my mum said it's ended up on next door's decking, so it's flipped up and got on next door's decking. And I said, well, did you go and get it back? And she said, well, I couldn't go and knock on and say, can I have my storage box back? And it was all cracked and all that. But as I said, it was a boring story. But it, for me, it did make it worse because
yeah,
I kind of could see it all. And you could see the A55 and all that stuff. So now when I'm driving back the other way, it does make me on genuinely think, like, oh, I remember being stood there.
Yeah, it does. It must get a bit, because I get a bit like that sometimes when I'm... So every time I get off the train at King's Cross with Charlotte, if we go to London,
yeah,
we shot Summerstown with Shea Meadows in Summerstown, which is pretty much at the back end of King's Cross. And every time we walk past it, there's a Summerstown town sign, like, welcome to Summerstown.
Yeah.
Every time I go to Charlotte, I go, that's where we made Summerstown. Yeah. She's like, I did it with that,
I did it with that castle because, again, growing up round there, it was always closed off.
Yeah.
It was literally boarded up for years. And me and a couple of my mates, like, we went and we played like Manhunt and that in it,
yeah,
and like,
cause
it was quite dangerous. Yeah, because it was like obviously hundreds of years old, whatever, but it was all fenced off. You couldn't get in it, but obviously, us as teenagers, you know, we broke the fence and we got in. So I was doing, when I'm a slipper on in the castle, I was literally going, oh, look, like to me oldest, I was like, oh, we used to jump off that and like, do you know what I mean? That's where we used to like give each other digs or whatever, like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Would you rather have done it in Australia?
Honest truth, no, I wouldn't. I'd been in the fortunate position before where they'd asked me a few times to do it.
Yeah.
And I know they've potentially asked.
They've asked me a few times. Yeah. I'd love to do it, but
I was going to go around the house and then suddenly thought, oh, I probably shouldn't say this. I know they've asked a few people that you know. But yeah, you know, like they've asked and it's never been the right time, or, you know, like I couldn't get a time off Emmerdale the one time I was going to do it. And then they asked me to do it this particular year. They'd actually asked, I actually had a meeting the year before for it when it was in Wales and it attracted me then just because it was in, I don't like flying. I'm not scared of it. I just don't like flying. Yeah. I don't like long haul flights.
Being on a fat tube for 24 hours.
Well, exactly. Just like I knew I would have Albert, who was young, and I'd have to leave him, you know, a week earlier and all that stuff. Anyway, I couldn't work out why they didn't want me the year before, but they'd have Bev Callard, Liz McDonald, Shane Ritchie, Alfie Moon, and somebody else. I can't remember. So I think all the soap positions were filled.
Yeah.
So you know what it's like when you get a no. It's downhearting. You know. It's hard to take sometimes. But then a lot of the time, I could work out why, so it makes it easier to deal with.
Yeah.
So then the year after, they said, would you come again and do it? But we're going back to Australia. So I was like, I think it sounded to me like it was a now or never, we're not asking you again. So I went, it's going to be the perfect time. I'd handed in my notice for Emmerdale. I knew that I'd have 6 months off before I start this. It's perfect time. And Albert was going to be born. I could spend loads of time with stuff. Anyway, we went on a holiday just before Albert was going to be born. And I was going into I'm a Celeb, so we booked this nice fancy holiday in Lanzarote. You can do fancy in Lanzarote, by the way. And we just said let's you know just go away just the two of us and went to an adults only place, you know, so there's no kids and we was dead relaxed. And then my agent at the time rung me and said, just let you know I'm a Celeb, want to talk. I was like, oh no, what have I done? Panic.
Yeah, definitely.
So they said, oh, it's nothing that you've done. We just want to check you're still interested, kind of thing. And I said, why? What's happened? They said Australia said no, you can't come in to the country because the COVID numbers had jumped up again. So I said, all right, okay, well, where are you? We're going back to Wales to Gruett Castle. Are you still interested? So it was like, no. And I was saying to Steph, just 1 second, it was kind of like, you know, we talked about sort of negotiations about stuff, and I was obviously interested, but you have to sort of, you can't just go, I definitely want to be up for it. It was kind of like, all right, you know, chill out. Anyway, I ended up doing it. Which for me was just to have the experience, and you know, I've always been honest about it. It was for the money, you know. I knew I wanted some time off, and I'd saved my money from Emmerdale, but this was like a bonus package.
Give
me potentially another year off.
Perfect timing with Whitland as well, wasn't it?
So I kind of went in there with that in my mind that I was only really doing it for the money,
and the experience. Like, did you ever fancy like the experience?
Not necessarily, no, because I've had sort of chats about, you know, other stuff like that, like the SAS thing, and it scares the life out of me. So it was purely to do it for the money, but also to do it for the experience and a bit of exposure, because I knew I was leaving Emmerdale, so I didn't know what paths it could open and roads it could open or whatever. So I kind of just thought, well, I'll see what happens. And then it's weird how, like, you start thinking sort of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth person goes, and you go, oh, actually, maybe they like me, kind of thing. And then you start to get a little idea that, like, they want to see a bit more of you because you get brought into the Telegraph a bit more and you get asked more questions and to narrate certain things for them. Because I think it's an experience, but you're also there to make a TV show. So there are a couple of production sort of notes they want to give you and say, oh, can you just yeah. direct us through what you did today in the challenge or how you did in the trial and all that kind of stuff. So it kept you sort of grounded. Yeah. All right, I am still working.
You was in the group chat that we've all got for the footy, for the charity that you've done. It's Mint Charity. You was getting peppered on the votes. Everyone was just every night just voting.
Well, you better expect it, hadn't you?
Yeah, of course.
Because
your
mates want to do it just as much, you know. Yeah. I mean, you look at Matt Hancock last year and everyone was voting for him.
Yeah.
Even when he was smashing the trials, people were still voting
for
him.
Yeah.
So not only is his mates probably going, oh, this is funny, people are going, I want to punish
him. I don't think he's got mates, has he?
Well, I don't know.
You're his mate, you really like him.
I do not.
He's a nice guy.
No, I do not.
Before we get into politics and all that shit.
Yeah,
so obviously we spoke before, didn't we, about an overrated subject.
I love that. Before we get into politics, let's talk football.
Well, let's just change it.
Let's
just change it before it gets too deep. Your overrated subject for me was like, because like I was texting you the other day and I said that Grimsby Town have just benefited for what is our most successful run since 1939 in the FA Cup down to VAR. Mm. But you did explain a little bit on a voice note, didn't you, about why it's sort of changed the game?
Yeah, so my subject a bit of overrated was, I didn't know whose point of view it was from being overrated, but I would consider it's from the FA's point of view being overrated. They really seem to like it. Whereas I think there's a huge majority, but then within that majority, a small minority of people where I think I fall into, of someone who just absolutely despises it. And I understand how much it, you know, it helps football and helps decisions and helps get the right decision and stuff, but sometimes it's just, it can ruin the game, it can ruin the flow of the game. Yeah. And it really made me actually...
You can't celebrate a goal anymore.
Well, this is it, because I think part of you, especially if you, it's all right if you're all around your own home fans and you all celebrate because you all feel as stupid as each other when they go, oh no, there was a tug on the shirt.
When you're in the pub next to loads of Everton.
Well, especially if you're with your mates, and a lot of my mates being from Manchester, Man United fans, so if you watch it then you go, yeah, get in. They go, offside from 16 minutes ago, you go, and then you look stupid. So, for me, it was overrated in the fact that they seem to really back it.
Yeah.
And it's actually made me fall out of love of football.
Yeah, you were saying.
Which is
because you've grown up loving footy and playing footy.
Yeah, and my mate said, oh, is this because, you know, Liverpool aren't winning anymore? And I go, no, I go back to last year, even when they were challenging for the league out of City in the previous 3 or 4 years. And, you know, you're playing all these money, like Neymar went to PSG for 150 million quid. And I go, I get it, it's a business, but it's so exposed and so publicised these days.
Yeah.
That 150 million, nobody bats an eyelid at. And you go... We're living in a world now where people are having to use food banks that are nurses, doctors, firefighters and stuff, and we're all bothered about outbidding Man United, Man City, Chelsea, whoever, Tottenham, to go and spend 90 million on a football player like Declan Rice. You know, he was another one that I was nearly going to say was overrated. I don't think he's overrated as such, but I think, you know, he's a player that stands out in quite an average team. How he'd get on if he went into a United, a City.
Well, I think
Liverpool.
There's a lot of the same with a lot of big players. Like, you get players that are doing really well at the clubs, and then they go to a different.
Yeah.
And as soon as they go to a big team, let's say, they just don't perform as well, do they? Do you know what I mean?
But a friend of mine is really good friends with a scout who works now. Used to work weirdly. I don't know. It's never got out in the press. Used to work for United. He now works for City. So like sort of like a smaller type academy scout, but scouting the players to hopefully boost to go forward.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because City have brought through about 2 players in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but they're just buying
them. But anyway, it kind of really like bugged me when he said that. Like, I was like, how can you put a price tag on Declan Rice of 120 million quid? And they go, well, the price goes up by a huge percentage if they can speak English. Obviously, if they're English, it goes up even more. Yeah. But if they can speak English, because they don't have to worry about the language barrier and the breakdown of communication,
because
it's done like that because they can speak English. Adds money onto it. And I was
it's wild, isn't it?
So, but then weirdly, when the European Super League thing came up, and I thought, how dare you? After all these years of us supporting this team, the Americans have come in and just went, let's make it bigger. Let's put the little fans off and we'll make it bigger so everyone can do it. I thought, how cheeky is that? And it was something they stood by, and then our owner John Emery came out and said, you know, FSG are really sorry and we shouldn't have done all this kind of thing. And I thought, you're not sorry. You're sorry that everyone's kicked off about it.
Yeah,
everyone went, what a great idea.
It's like, you're not sorry,
we're geniuses.
Sorry you got caught sort of thing.
So then I went and bought 2 season tickets for Stockport County.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Because I thought, I'd rather watch lower league football. And even if we get, you know, I support them up into the Premier League.
That, well, Grimsby Town have actually done the double over Stockport this year, haven't they?
They have, yeah. But where are they?
Below Stockport.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. So anyway, that for me was like, even if we get to the Premier League and they go, oh, we'll have a bit of the European Super League, I'll move on and, you know, we'll spot Ashton United or Curzon Ashton.
Do you not like buzz off more of the lower leagues?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Mate,
I do.
So much. Like,
and it's such a friendly stadium as well, Stockport County.
It is. Not for the away fans, though. No, because they refuse to put a roof on it, so we get piss wet through.
Yeah.
We stood there in 90 minutes getting absolutely lashed on.
Yeah, well, you know the option, don't you? Don't come.
Yeah, don't come. Yeah.
I've got to admit, like, obviously, like, I openly said on the podcast a few times, like, I'm not massive into football, but I do enjoy going. I do enjoy, it's like, the atmosphere. And I went with you, didn't I, with the first games of the game after COVID. And, like, I've been to Old Trafford a lot over the past, you know, 30-odd years.
Yeah.
And it was a good atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, people have the fish thing that they had. Yeah. And it was just, it was a drummer there. And, like, everything was just like, do you know what I mean? The crowd, the players were reacting to the crowd.
It's so intimate as well. Well, it is. So
yeah. It's like we spoke a few times with other guests on here, like that, but with comedians where you play, you know, a big arena or you play, like, a smaller kind of hall. And it's that kind of thing. You play the smaller venues, you're interacting with the crowd more. Yeah. And you can feel that at Grimsby.
It's more personal, isn't it? It's like, I was saying to Jordan, one of our friends last night, we were saying, the thing is with Grimsby, it's like, I went to a fan forum the other night, and it was like, there was the two owners of the club, the manager and the CEO of the club, and like probably 200 Grimsby Town fans at the ground in one of the suites. And it was like, I feel like big teams, particularly like Liverpool, Manchester United, and Man City, they don't get that sort of intimacy with the club. And
well, they don't care.
It's all about money.
Of course it is, yeah. I mean, you look at the Glazers, they don't care about the fans because if they did, they'd have sold the club years ago. Yeah. You look at, you know, I think it's muddied up with Liverpool, you know, the amount they've done for the surrounding area, new training ground, new stand, you know, everyone kind of, for a period of time, and these are great. And then when they realise that actually that either they're spending the money in the wrong places or they're not prepared to part with their own cash to make profit for the club, which for me as a, you know, as a non-huge business.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Businessman makes sense that if the club makes profit from the players and the shirt sales and stuff, then you make profit somehow along the line.
Yeah.
Rather than just taking money out of the club like the Glazers have done for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And buying it on a debt, you know, buying it with a loan, you know, like how can you do that? That's not football, that's business. And that's why I then started to go, when VAR came in, it was just, and VAR and the European Super League, it suddenly just made me go, you know, I haven't been to Anfield for I think this is the second season now I haven't been, but County last year I went to like 12 home games.
Well, I saw on your Instagram when, because you went to the game County won the league in the year that Town got promoted through playoffs.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing on your Instagram at the last game of the season when I got promoted.
Yeah.
And I thought, he was a Liverpool fan. He's going just because he's on the back of the success for Stockport. Yeah. But now it makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Because you've fallen out.
Well, can I just say that they've not been to the football, they've not been in the football league for 30 plus years or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Might be a bit less than that. I buy his 2 season tickets, and in the first season they get promoted.
There you go.
So, you know what I mean?
You know, technically they owe me.
Yeah. And have you been going to most games?
Well, no. To be fair, this year, because it was one of those things where it was just, you know, like having to, the same as everyone. I think everyone gets this impression that you do these kind of TV shows and you do acting and you're suddenly a millionaire instantly overnight. And
what are you not?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not far off. I think I've got a couple of zeros to go on there, maybe four or five. But no, like, you know, there was things that I had to cut back on, and obviously, you know, like having a son now and stuff where he's not at the age where you can share that experience with him. And I was constantly having to find people to take the tickets and stuff, and you know, like, I kind of bumped it up and did the whole sort of sit down and have a meal and listen to the players and they have a compare and betting and games and stuff before, just to make it a little bit more sort of fun. I originally got it for me and my dad's not so good on his feet anymore, so he couldn't come and then walk that far, so I just thought, do you know what, let me give it to somebody who's going to be able to use it. And I said to the lady who sorted it out, I said, I'm going to have to give it up this year. And I know it's only been one season. I do want to pick it up again, but I'm coming on my own sometimes. And I did it for my dad, and now his feet aren't so good, so he can't walk. And he's 88, my dad, so you know, he can't walk that far. So I was like, it's just taking the fun out of it. And I'd rather somebody, and she went, listen, don't even worry about it. We've got a waiting list as long as my arm, you can't, you know. So I gave it up, but, you know, I still go to the odd occasional game when I can and stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Is Albert going to be a county fan or Liverpool?
Well, I think. I mean, if we're still living in this area, yeah, because, you know, loads of... I used to sort of play for the academy for a couple of years there, and when I was really into football, and I'd love him to really be into football, and I'm doing everything to make it
happen. I
know
you are, yeah.
But, some, you know, he does love it. He loves it, and he's at the age where sometimes he'll pick it up with his hands and he infuriates me.
Yeah, and then other times
he'll go and kick this ball, and you're like, how's a 16-month-old just done that?
Yeah, great, mate. My little boy, he can dribble.
Yeah, really.
And he can roll. He's rolling it over his foot and that.
Well, he's following the instructions. So if he gets that, but I think the thing with it is, like, you know, I'd love him to experience what I experienced. So my first game. This is how I can remember it. You know, when
people. What was your first game?
So my first game was Steven Gerrard's first game against Blackburn.
So it was a Liverpool game.
I didn't know if it was a county game. So my dad used to work at Man City at Main Road. So he was a compare comedian, but he'd work at City on the Saturday or the Sunday, and then on the following day when City were much lower down before they got all that money and you know, whatever, he used to work there on the Saturdays, so sometimes I'd go with him because it was effectively my childminder. And I remember these days where, like, he'd sort of just sit down there with Sean Goat and just wait there while I go and do this, and be like, you know, kind of looking at him, not a clue, and then I'd go, right, do you want to go and watch the game? I've got to rehearse for the second half. So he'd sit me down and just sort of sit and watch this game, and this was the times when they were getting beat 4-1 by York City, you know, before the... So I just sort of, so I was watching these games and I wasn't interested in it, and I definitely didn't want to go to United because all my mates hated United at school.
Yeah.
And then my uncle Seamus, who's not my uncle, he's just been around for that long.
He
used to have two season tickets at Anfield, and he said, and I don't know if you remember, it was called Hero to Zero. It was a TV programme Michael Owen was in as he was... I don't know how it was allowed, but he was playing for Liverpool, and then he was the star of this Hero to Zero with this kid who wanted to be Michael Owen. And each week...
But similar to the Wayne Rooney Street Striker?
No, this... So it was a programme. It was like a kids' drama type thing, kids' TV show, and he was in it. He would only appear in it every now and again kind of thing, but it was all about sort of Michael Owen and this kid wanting to be Michael Owen and all this. You'd probably be able to...
Michael Owen
YouTube,
of all people.
I know. But then there was this one time where, like, this kid threw the ball to him as if Michael Owen being a number 10 or a number 9 takes throw-ins. This kid threw the ball to him and went, cheers, mate, and turned around and he throws the ball kind of thing. And it was like, oh, my God, he met Michael Owen. So I fell in love with that TV show.
Mm.
And a funny story about it, actually. So my uncle got me this Michael Owen kit to wind my dad up kind of thing. And my dad said, take him in if he likes it. You know, he can do it, which was far too lenient for me. If my son came back and said, I want to go to United with my uncle, You're not going anywhere, mate, near that stadium unless it's in the away end. But then, so then we went to Old Trafford once. My uncle at that time was he was quite well off, and he knew a few people. And he went, do you want to go downstairs? It was at Old Trafford. Do you want to go downstairs and meet some of the players? So I was like, what? Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
So then Michael Owen must have done a post match interview, and he walked down the corridor, and I was like, oh my God, I could feel my hands shaking. I was like, that's Michael Owen. And my uncle Seamus turned around to him and he said, he went, oh, Michael, can you just get a picture? He went, not right now. And walked off.
I went, oh no.
Supported Liverpool for you and you're a dick.
Have you met him since?
No, I haven't met him since, no. I'm not sure he'd remember it. I'm not that bothered about him now because he's played for United, so he can fuck off.
But then
after it, I'd fallen in love with Liverpool. Anyway, I remember walking up the steps to it, and it was perfect. My uncle Seamus had timed it, wait for you, never walk alone, to kick in, walked up the stairs, got to the top, and it was...
I remember when we played shaking.
There. Yeah.
I remember when we played there, you was like kid in a candy shop. Did you score?
No, I didn't.
Ah,
no, I didn't.
When you played where?
We played at Anfield. Oh, nice. Yeah.
But what really what really struck me was that these balls were, like, because I was playing up front and I was dying to score, even though there was no crowd, you know, like, I was dying to score, to say I scored.
Yeah.
I've done loads of the warm-up. Like, top right, top left, cross-barring in the lot.
Yeah.
But then came to the game and didn't. And what actually really made me think, because the groundsman was there and I was talking to him after it, really boring conversation I had with him, but he was talking about how they leather the pitch with water and then fork it, so it's basically like ice.
Fizzes, mate. The balls.
These balls were coming in. Like, I remember Kel, I think it was Kel Spelmer, one of the sort of younger lads.
I mean, Ken Riley didn't struggle. I think he got three and he come on as a sub.
Yeah.
So you can't really blame the pitch.
But that's it. He's a goal poacher. I don't know. Can't blame the pitch at all. No, but the goals that he scored, everyone had had enough by this point.
Everyone was knackered.
Whereas first 45, everyone was up for it. And it might have been Jack McMullen as well, put this ball across and I watched him kick it and suddenly I just looked at it and it had gone.
Gone past
it.
And
it was that fast. I thought, how did they put it? No wonder the professionals.
Absolutely
because,
beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole day was. It was good. I ended up getting put at right back, I think, which I've never played in my life.
No.
I remember, like, the ball. I remember seeing the ball in front of me. And I'm one of them, like, if I'm going to go for a challenge, I'm going for it.
Yeah.
And I remember putting my head down and sprinting and rolling my foot over the ball.
Yeah.
And just as my foot went over the ball, I looked up. And this because there was a lady playing on their team, wasn't there?
Yes.
And I had my foot went over the ball and went straight through her knee. And just clattered her. She was squealing and I was like, I look like a scumbag because I went in hard.
Intentionally. Well, I was a scumbag.
But I remember just the poor lady like screaming and I was like, oh God.
That was the lady that said, I'm going to smash her at first five.
Yes, it was. It was indeed. Yeah, because they was referees and we was playing against like the FA, So I just got it in early for VAR.
Fair enough.
But the, so VAR, so Grimsby played Southampton last week. Yeah. Last week to us now, whenever this goes out, I don't know. But we beat Southampton 2-1 and we got two penalties because of VAR. They had two goals disallowed because of VAR.
Right.
And also they had a pretty plausible penalty shout as well, got disallowed a VAR. So I'm on the opposite end of the scale.
Which is
VAR for me has created history for our club. But because we don't have to deal with it every week, it's like...
Is it weird, though, like you say, because, again, coming as, like, not a massive football fan, like Danny says, it's sort of ruining the game a little bit because...
It is.
10 years ago or whatever, pre-VAR, you'd have just lost that. You'd have gone home, you'd have been, you know, sore.
Yeah, it'd have been too old.
Would have won on penalties. Drew it.
Yeah, it would have won on penalties.
Does it not feel less of a win now? Even though you're celebrating it and buzzing, like... Like you say, you know, great. You know, we're all town.
We are all town.
To be in that position, does it not feel? For hearing what Danny's saying, you know, it's kind of ruining the game. And that does it not feel a bit like?
Well, it's because we don't experience it every week. That's the thing. It's because
you've not got it in the lower league. You were explaining to me. You don't have it in the lower league. So it's only in what league?
It's only in the Premier. It's only in like top flight.
Top flight.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But they
Championship have got it, haven't they?
And is that due to
is that due
to costs and stuff?
Haven't you? Yeah, costs,
just going on costs. So the chairman of Grimsby, Jason Stockwood, one of them, he did an interview after the game, and he said that they received an email before the game, demanding that Grimsby Town needed to pay £10,000 in order for the usage of VAR. I'm assuming for the officials, blah blah blah. And the chairman at the end of the game said, "That's the best fucking £10,000 we've ever spent."
Yeah, well, I suppose
because
you're right,
it's in us. God knows how much money. But it's just so like the only thing is with VAR is I don't really watch much Premier League, but it's so inconsistent.
Well, it is. But this is the thing, and there was one like two weeks ago, which was it denied Arsenal 2 points. They ended up drawing the game.
Yeah,
because the guy who's doing the VAR, which for me is like, well, you've got your cameras and stuff here. It's like your camera operator just forgetting to turn the camera on and you're going,
oh, that's
I've
happened.
Just wasted an hour.
Well, that's happened. Well, Lloyd Griffith, you know. I think it was the third time that we got him because of our own fault.
Well, there you go. But
So
as a professional, you know, him kind of just going, that was great, that, an hour and 45 minutes or whatever long it was, you know, it was brilliant that. But we didn't record any of it. What? You had one fucking job. We were stood here doing all the talking. You just had one job to do that kind of thing. You know, for me, like, he forgot to draw the lines on, so there was never going to be any offside because there was no lines to say who's on and who's off. So that cost Arsenal 2 points, which technically wouldn't really get them back up 4 years ago.
Yeah. No. So really if it gets to the end of the league and they lose it by 2 points or 1 point...
Yeah, they've been done over by VAR.
But it's going to be VAR that's done that. And that's going
to
cost...
But the FA and Howard Webb and all these players and referees and officials that all go around to the grounds and train about VAR, well... who's getting in trouble for that? Because the next week he was on as the referee, so he wasn't punished. You know,
yeah,
like if a player goes through 2 feet, challenge and snaps someone's leg, he's either getting banned for the season for foul play, and you know, or he's at least getting 3-game ban because it was a dangerous challenge. You know,
yeah.
So he gets punished for it, but the person who's then gone and done this VAR mistake and cock up
is there no punishment?
Straight back onto VAR. All they do is take him off VAR. Duty and put him on field duty instead. So where's the punishment? Because either way, he's still doing his job, he's still getting paid, whereas the other person is going to get snapped his leg. Right, well, you're getting fined 4 weeks, which now can be £1 million.
Yeah,
you know, 4 weeks wages you're getting fined, and you're banned for 3 games. So there's no punishment for the officials, but there's punishment, you know, they don't have to do post-match interviews, they don't have to stand there.
That's
and say
the thing, they
somebody
don't,
goes, you made a really rubbish decision on the 18th minute, you sent him off, he didn't even touch him, VAR said he didn't touch him, but you stuck with your decision. Why? They don't have to anybody
they
to answer.
They've got no one to answer.
So they don't have to stick with the decision of VAR.
They can overrule the VAR.
So what's the point?
Yeah.
Because they can go and have a look at it on the box, and they'll have a look, and they're talking in their ear, and that's the other thing in rugby. You can hear what they're saying.
Yeah,
to each
that's
other. So
the thing.
At least if we can go, no, but just have a look. Just go back. You see that there? That's where the contact made. Then everyone would be in the right mind to go, well, you can hear him talk about it, and then he says it in your ear and says, yeah, but look at the contact. That's where he catches his shin. It's a dangerous challenge. It's a red card. He can then kind of go, no, I'm happy, and run off and just go, no, and leave it. Or if he books him, then it means that the VAR can't come in unless it's going to be a potential red.
Yeah.
So they can't book him to go, it's not a yellow card. So it's only on-field mistakes or... It's such a grey area that it just ruins it, because you cheer twice. You cheer, you go, yes. And the first one's always like, yes. Unless it's just a screamer from 35 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're cheering kind of thing. But then if it goes to VAR, you cheer a second time. But it's never as loud and it's never as fun.
No, the feeling's not the same,
is
it?
Yeah,
the VAR decision that was given for Grimsby, so one of the Southampton defenders turned round and smacked with the back of his hand, just like a lash out.
Yeah.
But on one of our players' backs.
Yeah.
Our player felt that, made an absolute meal of it.
Yeah.
Very clever from me.
Yeah.
Because the rules say that if you intentionally strike someone,
yeah,
that's a foul. Yeah. And he did it in the box, and it was a penalty.
Yeah.
But should that not have been a red card as well? If you intentionally strike someone, but if me and you were squaring up and I headbutt you,
yeah,
like, that's a red card because I'm intentionally striking you, but they never sent him off. Yeah, we got the penalty, but should he have been sent off as well?
Well, this is the other thing about, you know, how theatrical, and you see so many like TikToks.
I mean, Danilo Orsi could have been killed. He could have been killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should see the challenge.
Yeah, I'll definitely Google it after this.
Yeah, I'm going to show you it after this. It's brilliant.
But, yeah.
That's the thing I love about football is who is you playing?
Southampton.
Like that, if you were a Southampton fan, you'd have a complete, like, I've always loved that
view
about football.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
The same people can, and that's right from, like, you know, the World Cup to your local team, whatever.
Yeah.
The opposite fans can be watching the same exact clip
and
have two completely opposing.
Did you think the VAR was used better at the World Cup though? And although
I do.
The officiating as a whole, I thought was better.
Yeah, it was, and I do in a way, because also at the end of it, you know, like, you'd suddenly go, plus 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's how long it's taken, whereas it takes 4 or 5 minutes to get a decision. They go, no, we're happy with it anyway. You go, well, what a waste of time. And at the end, you know, 3 minutes added time.
Yeah.
How? We stopped play for...
And also,
stopped my watch. So where's the other three come from then?
And also, when the ball goes out of play for 30 seconds in that added time, they're adding that back on, and rightfully so. We get it a lot in league. Well, you'd have seen it at Stockport. When teams are grinding for that 0-0 draw at Stockport, like the world, because they're a good team.
Yeah.
But, like, they put on 4 minutes. Like, their goalkeeper will go down with cramp for a minute. That minute's not added back on.
No, no, no.
Whereas it should
It'll
be.
Finish at 94.
Yeah, it should be 4 minutes play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is what I thought the World Cup and the officials did really well there.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, another one about it for me, which at the weekend was, like, even Liverpool beating United 7-0, which is historic.
Yeah, no, it's never happened.
Happened.
Did you watch it? I bet he was buzzing, wasn't he?
Well, to be fair, it genuinely was the first sort of game I'd watched in 5 or 6 games. I listen to him, or I'll keep up to date on the app. But whereas 3 or 4 years ago, diehard, nothing came before football.
It.
I wouldn't come. If I was, and it was like my dad when we were kids. He was a diehard Catholic. Even on holiday, the first thing he'd do is put his bag in and go and find the local church.
I'm like that with Grimsby.
I used to be on holiday, I'd put my bag in, I'd go and find the local pub. Are you playing the game on Tuesday? Yeah, brilliant. Can I book a tape? So I'd be militant with it.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm just like, oh, whatever. But I was sat at home with Albert and Steph, and they had the game on, and I was watching it kind of thing. Never in a million years did anybody think it was going to be 7-0. And I know, you know, Gary Neville said they didn't play well, which to me was just bizarre. But anyway, you know, like there was a moment where the big French centre back Konaté for Liverpool was running, and he fends off Fernandes with his hand, which is perfectly allowed in football. Mm. You can hold a player off long as you don't do that or that. You can hold a player off, and that's exactly what he did. And as he's running with the ball, Fernandes gets hit here, and Gary Neville talked about it, and it was disgusting. Got hit here, and he went down like this, and he's a little bastard anyway.
The way he acted on Sunday confirmed.
Just doing all this and then telling him pushing the lines, come off, pushing him. He got away with it, but anyway, they checked it for a possible red card because they thought he'd done that.
Yeah.
So they checked it, check complete, no red card. Right. So does that not then mean he's dived?
You're not giving a foul or a
card because he's done that, not that. So why has he not been booked for it?
Well, that's what
I mean,
like the consistency of it. Like going back to that hitting our player in the back, you've intentionally struck him. Like it's a booking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've given the foul or whatever. So that should have been a booking for that.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, they make the decisions, but they don't follow up on it like they should. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think, I don't know, sometimes I think that they overrule decisions that shouldn't be overruled, or I don't know. That's exactly.
I think the FA overrate it, and a lot of, I'd say 70% of the fans hate it, because you're getting the decisions at the end of it, but it's so inconsistent. It's such a stalk in the football game.
Because you used to play football, like we've played together for years, haven't we, for once upon a smile. Can you not be asked to play anymore as well?
I don't mind playing it, I like playing it. I mean, for the last 2 or 3 years, I had quite a bad car crash on the motorway. I was fine, other than my back was knackered, and still sometimes is if I overtrain and stuff, which is annoying, because then I like to eat food and drink beer and put the weight on because I can't go to the gym, because I'll do one run or, you know, I'll do one set of session at the gym and suddenly my back's fucked for a week. So I just kind of go, right, I'm just not gonna go to the gym, kind of thing, which has its thingies. But, you know, for me, it's now you're playing a version of the game, which is what I was saying to you. You know, we're playing football on a Sunday, but effectively the top tier football teams are playing a different version of what we're playing, because the referee's only got one, and, you know, the assistant manager's one linesman, and then your mate's mum's the other linesman, and they haven't got a clue, and they're calling offsides and stuff. And that's actually what makes it fun, because you end up shouting at him, going, "How can he be offside? He stood 3 yards on."
What do you think about...
Then they just go, "Let's just go to VAR," and then you go, well, "What's the point?" It's run by video audio.
What do you think about people running the lines who are playing for the team? You know, like say we play Sunday League and we play for the same team, and I'm on the bench.
Yeah.
And they'll go, "Oh, Tomo, run the line." I'm like, I don't get that, because it's like, could easily be.
Yeah, but then, you know, like we used to play all the time, and our assistant manager used to do it all the time, you know, because they can't afford, it's Sunday League, you can't afford to play, you have to all chip in for the referee.
As well. Who'd be at Sunday League?
You've got to be off your head or really bored or just hate your wife, haven't you? You know, like just
waking up on a Sunday morning getting peppered by 22 dibs who can't really play footy, who haven't been to bed.
No.
Just giving you absolute grief.
Well, it says something about the home life, doesn't it? That you'd rather that than just have your wife going, "Should we go to the garden centre today?" You go, fuck it, I'd rather get shouted at by 22 for 14 quid.
Yeah, that's it. I love going and watching Sunday League, though. Did you ever play Sunday League? Because when we played, you've got goals in you, haven't you? Like, you play.
Yeah, I used to play like to a decent standard, and then I found cider and fags and park and stuff, and I blew it all. And I never made it like professional, but I could have done all right at, you know, like a League 2 sort of thing. Well, I was with County for like 2 years, and I loved it, you know, but like it wasn't as interesting in trying to be the cock of the school.
Who do you reckon's the best player for Sidley for Once Upon a Smile? We've got ex-pros.
Wes Brown plays for us. You know, there's other players that we've had over the years, like Graham Alexander and Frank Sinclair kind of thing. But I don't think you can pick them, because it's like sort of sticking all of us on stage.
Reece Douglas has got to be up there,
hasn't he? Do you know what the thing is? Reece, he's like a Sean Wright Phillips. He gets down the wing, he gets past people. Little step over and he's past people, you're like, "Oh yeah, brilliant." You're running with him.
Then I'll fall over his own feet.
And you're like, "Just square the ball and we've got a goal." You know, like, I'm right in front of goal. 9 times out of 10 I'm gonna score. Or the one out of maybe 8 out of 10. But whatever the other remaining numbers is, it's going over the bar, or I'm gonna miss the ball and trip over it, and the whole crowd, because the crowd loved for some reason me missing. They loved it. So I was like, "All right, fine." But you go, "Square the ball, this is a goal." And he'd turn in, step over, and he'd just ping it, and then one in 20 would just hit the top corner, and you go, wow. But the other 19 would either end up as a throw-in, a goal kick.
Yeah. He just shoots on the corner flags, isn't
it? I think, you know, I think personally, I struggle to find a player who's not professional who's as good as Nico Mirallegro.
Nico's a decent player.
Because he gets stuck in and he always reminds me of like... It always remind me of a Jack Grealish. You know, he'd get fouled through the game. He'd be like, "Oh God!" And he'd be up, do it. You know, he'd work hard for the team. He was good at winding people up. You know, on and off the ball.
Yeah, he's clever, isn't he? In that sense, he kind of gets.
But then also, you know, like you kind of look at him and he's solid, isn't he? Yeah, he's stocky and he's solid. And I remember once, like as a little bit of a laugh,
just trying to track him down for a game's hard enough.
Well, I know, or just track him in general.
Yeah,
but I remember once, sort of like he came over to say well done for scoring a goal kind of thing, and he pushed me kind of thing, went, "Oh, cheers," and pushed it. He didn't move. And I was like, I bet he's a right little warrior underneath.
He's a little warrior.
He just didn't move.
Is he from Wivenshaw?
No, he's not. No, he's. Manchester though.
He lives in Prestwich, doesn't he?
Yeah, does he?
Well, I think. Don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a good lad as well. But luckily, he plays with boots on because the rest of the time he spends with no shoes on, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's into his wild walking and
which surely you get a twig or two in your foot.
I know. Yeah. I think glass you have to build it up, don't you? I think you have to like do it for a little bit and build up like the soles of your feet and stuff, and they eventually get a bit harder.
Like a match,
and then
on
you can because I've seen some of his Instagrams and he's like walking like
in
the peaks.
Wild walking.
He goes like in the Peak District, like with no shoes on and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
It's really good for you, apparently. Connect to the earth.
Connect to the earth.
And not just hug a tree, it's easier.
Well, you know, each their own, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I believe in that, to be fair. Yeah, each their own. Yeah. It's not something that would attract me.
No, I don't fancy that. Do you like hiking? I don't like hiking, really.
No, I don't really like exercise.
I don't mind hiking because it doesn't feel much like exercise. You kind of just walk in and looking at nice stuff. You can have a little break here and there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't mind it.
I'm all or nothing with exercise. Like, I've even got to be, like, I've got to be doing it all the time.
Yeah, you go into it. I've got to go in.
But I can't just dip in and out.
I'd just be out of my depth with it. A lot of the time, we did it for a charity. We did, like, this Survive the Wild thing, it's called.
Yeah.
Which, my Survive the Wild was that when the guys in there went into their little lodge to have their tea, who were running it, meant that I got in my car and went to the co-op and got a load of food for everyone. Whereas there's another guy.
You still survived it.
Yeah,
you're using the tools that you've got.
I've got a car, but he just said, the weirdest thing was he just said, right, imagine you don't have your car or anything like that. Well, I can't imagine it. I opened my tent and the car's there. So I can't imagine it. But then there was another guy called Daz Conley who used to play for us, and he's like Xbox, he's an actor as well. He's like really good lad. And he was like, someone had to volunteer to sleep in the hammock because that was the idea of it. You know, people got thought, he went, "No, but I'll do it, no problem." Took this hammock, zipped it up against a tree, got in it, asleep like that.
I hate people who can do
that. But then this other guy who was running it, he walks up the mountains, right? And I weren't prepared for it whatsoever. I was in trainers, you know, my back was killing, my knees were killing. I was just not made for this thing. Yeah, and it was just... So we kind of got to the top of this hill and he just turned around and it was like he was SAS, you know, kind of thing. And he'd just go, "Break!" He goes, "Somebody say to my dog, break."
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, break? And he'd just sit down. He'd take his backpack off that then becomes a little table, right? He gets all these compartments open sort of thing. I was expecting it to just whoom, blow up and it's a house that he takes with him. But he takes all this thing, undoes the pockets kind of thing. And he sat there with this, like, I think, meal.
You know, like,
I was like,
all
I had left was a half a tuna cucumber sandwich from Co-op from the night before.
That's your meal deal.
Yeah. So that, I was kind of like, I've got it. Pulled it out, it's all wet and rang it. I was like, this just isn't for me.
You have to
accept in life that some things aren't for you.
Yeah, there is people who are just good at being outdoors, isn't there? Yeah. Like Mike Socker, who we've had on, like, he's one of them.
Yeah.
He's just walking.
Yeah.
Walks and walks. But he's the same.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And he's got all the equipment. Like, we've been hiking before and he's whipping out all these things. He's making us like, I don't fucking cooking all kinds of like noodle pots and cups of teas at the top of the mountain. He knows what he's doing. Why?
Yeah.
I don't mind it, the odd hike, but like Kinder Scouts where I draw the line.
Yeah. But well, my mate's like a really... I watch these things on TV all the time, you know, they go and do like... A lot of it's always someone like Robson Green on a boat, just talking shite to the camera, and then they do a bit of fishing and they get in and do it, and no one does it like Bear Grylls, do they? And always out of breath. Everyone's always out of breath. So he gets his fish out and he's like, look at this. This is a 16-pound. You're like, right, yeah, Sam, what are you going to do with that now? He throws it back in the thing. You're like, fucking what a waste of time.
Yeah,
one of my mates is a really keen fisher, and he said to us once, you want to go fishing? So we went fishing with him, and it was, and he set it all up. You know, it looked all nice, and it was all kind of like, in, he had his tent set up, and he had a little pot of gas thing with all his kettle on and all like that kind of stuff. And he's got a couple of cans in his cooler and sits down, and he sets him. It must have took him an hour and 10 minutes to get set up. And he just got the thing, it flew it like that, put it in, locked it up, put it like that, and sat there and went, what are you doing? And he went, fishing. I went, so you've done all of that, and then you put that in there, and that's it?
Yeah.
And he went, well, yeah, well, something will tug on it when it's there. I went, well, that's not fishing, is it?
No. But
that's
now,
just waiting, isn't it?
You know, it's like, yeah.
You could book yourself into your local GP and go and do the same thing. Do you know what I mean? Just sit there and wait for it.
Because surely once it's hooked on, so you... Well, all you got to do is that. Like,
you got to give it a tug at you to get it, on.
Andy, I had no idea. Yeah. I wanted to get in with the wellies and all that and throw it and, what was that on my leg? No, none of that. Just
see the fishermen. Like people out now, aren't the fishermen?
You've got to, that's him switching off, innit? Do you know what I mean? That's
Is fair.
That's where I go.
Yeah.
And I just switch off. And same with like people who hike and that.
I'd like that with golf. Switch off. Switch off playing golf.
Yeah, that's it. But then for me, and by the sounds of it, like for you, like, You do that and you're like, where's the challenge, where's the fun,
where's the thrill of it?
Do you know what I mean? But then you'll probably have some where you can just go, right, this is how I switch off, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you do to switch off?
Well, this was my kind of, I don't know when you wanted to drop this in, but this was my underrated subject, so I don't know if you want me to wait for that.
Oh, we'll do that on an exclusive little Patreon thing.
Yeah. Well, I reckon that's we've pretty much covered everything
before
we start waffling on too much.
Thank you
for coming.
No, don't be daft, that's right.
Nice one, mate. I appreciate it. Buzzing that finally got you on.
And if you do want to hear Danny's underrated subject, get on the Patreon and have a listen on there.
That sounds like a shot, what's that?
It does patron it, that's how I like it. Sweet, okay, nice one, we'll cut that there.
Yeah, nice one, mate, appreciate it.
Another episode down.
Done and dusted.
Another lovely chat.
Another week out of the way.
Hope you're all having a fantastic week. Mm-hmm. Again, another lovely chat, and just nice to be doing the podcast, doing what we love doing, man.
Yeah, it's nice to be together, and it's nice to have it all sort of done professionally and comfortably, and... Yeah, and I think it's really showing with the guests that we're getting on at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think, the more that we can keep doing this, the more that we can provide for you listeners at home, the viewers that are watching on YouTube, there is a way that you can support us, if Andy would like to tell.
I will. You can support us in many ways. One of the main ways being we do have a Patreon account. If you can go on there, it's www.patreon.com/overrateeverything. That just helps us to secure guests. You know, we want to be getting bigger and better guests from London and places like that down to the studio. Obviously, that costs money. And for a small fee each month, you guys can contribute towards that. And you'll get rewarded as well. What kind of rewards will you get, Thomas Turgus?
Well, it depends how much they're willing to spend. No, we've got so much in store, haven't we? We've got like... We've got the lives coming up.
We've got lives,
I know,
which is
promised over the
exciting.
Years. Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't wait for all that. We've just got sort of behind the scenes exclusive footage that we're doing, and
got some bonus podcasts as well.
Some bonus podcasts with ourselves and with some guests.
Some of the guests.
Yeah, just sort of. But I guess as the more it goes on, the more surprises that we'll drop.
We want to have fun with it. We're creative people. We want to have fun. We want to be creative. We want to make some nice content for you guys.
Yes.
And keep that Patreon going over. But obviously, we ain't no fools. We know times can be hard for everyone. Mm. And so if you can't subscribe to Patreon, that's fine. That's cool. Yeah. What you can do, if you love the podcast, is like, subscribe, share, tell a mate as well.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's used to just going share. Like, actually sit in the pub or wherever you're meeting with your mates and socialising in the gym. Yeah. and just go, hey, have you heard that podcast? It's pretty good, you know. Yeah, get it on Spotify. Bam.
Play it really loudly when you're at a red light with the windows open.
Play it really loudly at red lights. Overrated Everything, the best podcast to play really loudly at red lights.
There you go.
If that's illegal, we're going to get sued.